Time listener-supported KTOO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and also on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, March 20th, 2023. No, it's 2025. Oh, that's so funny. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Cheesh, Hawa Toksik Nusam Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. You may also join the conversation via our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Facebook page. Today, a preview of Co-Creating Your Life with the Universe workshop this Sunday. We talk with mindset coach Julie Peters about how you can work towards manifesting your dream life. We talk with the Juno Commission on Aging about upcoming events and opportunities around Juno. And Chancellor of the University of Alaska Southeast is here to share about the Spring Yamaha Maintenance Certification Program and more. Those conversations, plus Savory Moment and a new star party on today's Spring Equinox. That's all up this hour on Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan AD have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. This is community-supported Juno Afternoon from KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. We are also now streaming to YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Facebook page. Feel free to say hi in the chat on either of those platforms. Hopefully today's stream is a little more clear for y'all than it was yesterday. This Sunday, mindset coach Julie Peters is offering How to Co-Create with the Universe. It's a free workshop to help you work toward the life you dream. How do you create your life with intention and work to overcome all the fear and anxiety? Julie is here today to share a little bit with us and to get us started. Gunath Cheesh, Ha'iyudi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to see you again, Julie. Welcome back to the studio. Wasa'iti, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me back. I'm excited.
Of course. Well, thank you for being here and enjoying our new online adventure journey streaming. And there's so many buttons to push. And for some reason, I thought it was 2023. And I was joking with you while we were in the break there that I was like, I wonder what happened on March 20th, 2023 that was so important to me that date is like ingrained in my brain.
Makes you wonder.
I have no idea, but maybe we'll dig into it. Who knows? Okay, so first, let's remind folks about you and what is mindset coaching?
Yes, so I'm a transformational mindset coach. And what that means is I'm helping people become aware of themselves. We are moving through life on autopilot, and we don't recognize that. And so we don't have awareness of what we're doing because we have all these habitual beliefs and patterns that we just operate off of on autopilot. And so part of my job is helping people take a close look, become aware of what are their beliefs? Why do they do what they do? Why do they say what they say and think what they think? And where did that all come from? Mm. And then from there, when you have awareness of where your beliefs come from, then you can start to reevaluate them and say, is that really my belief? Or is that a belief that got programmed into me from my childhood? We all get programmed in childhood with things we get exposed to on repeat. That's how you create habits and thoughts on repeat become beliefs. And so, you know, what you experience in school, from your parenting, in church, from coaches on sporting teams, media, everywhere, up until the age of 7 or 8 years old, you're in a theta brainwave, which is like a hypnotic state, which means that all this information is coming into your subconscious mind, and you don't have a developed conscious mind to ascertain, oh, do I believe that or not? You just absorb it, and it becomes your truth.
And it's interesting because when the kids are young, we do just refer, we say, oh, they're like a sponge.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're just taking it all in.
It's copy-paste.
Interesting. Okay. That's so fascinating. And then as you start to get older, you then maybe come up against what you had, this ingrained behavior, or ingrained thoughts, ingrained beliefs, against what maybe you're now thinking about or trying to achieve differently.
Yes, it can show up in different ways. Mm-hmm. It can show up as anxiety that you mentioned. And anxiety comes from this desire within you, this life force that's moving through you, your higher self, your higher power, God, source, universe, whatever your word is for it, something greater than you, is life expressing through you. And we experience anxiety and when we're not living up to our potential.
Mm.
And what stops us is our beliefs and our fears.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what causes anxiety, and anxiety over time turns into depression.
Mm. So how did you get started in this work?
I got started by doing this work. I was in a series of relationships that were unfulfilling and left me feeling just really lost. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who I was. And I just kept thinking, wow, this keeps happening to me. This is a pattern here. I want to interrupt this pattern. And mm-hmm. so I started getting life coaching about 5 years ago. And I've consistently received coaching, and it's a part of my life now. It's something I'll always do to keep me aware of myself, to keep me conscious, to keep me in the work. It's so easy. We can reprogram the subconscious mind, but that original programming that we got as children has really deep grooves. It's got well-worn neural pathways.
Oh, it's hooked in there.
It's hooked in there.
Yeah.
And it takes a tremendous amount of conscious effort to reprogram your subconscious mind. Mm. And so if you kind of get going and get on a roll and you're like, okay, I got this material, I'm good, and you stop getting the support, it's amazing how quickly you can all of a sudden, you're unaware of it until all of a sudden you are aware of it and you're like, whoa, I've gotten off track again. I'm letting fear make my decisions for me. Mm. So staying in the work, for me, in my experience, has been it's a part of my life now. I love it.
And now you are sharing it with others. You are coaching people as a mindset coach to sort of, and so what is that process like? Whether, I guess you probably work with individuals and or groups, like we're going to talk about your class in a little bit here, but when you're working with someone, how do you begin?
I like to begin with some of the psychological sides of things to help people gain the awareness of themselves. And two of the approaches I use are the Cartman Drama Triangle,
okay,
which has three positions on it, the persecutor, the rescuer, and the victim. And we all fall on there in some way, shape, or form, and one is usually more prominent than the other. And this is just increasing your awareness. Oh, wow, I do have this tendency to be a rescuer. Mm. I forgo my own needs to make sure everyone else is happy because that gives me value.
Mm.
If I'm super kind and super generous and really giving, then it fills my own value.
Mm.
But it's at the expense of your own self. Your energy should be put towards you first and then others. So that's an example. The Cartman Triangle, to give you an idea of how you operate in the world. And another one is adult attachment theory. And so there's four types of attachment. One of them is secure, and the other three are insecure. And these are done through quizzes. I have people do quizzes to figure out, okay, this is my attachment style. And then you're just gaining awareness of yourself. That's how I start. That's how we can start to look at ourselves and become more aware of how we're operating. And people are shocked when they learn where they fall on the drama triangle or what their attachment style is. Like, I remember the first time I did the drama triangle, and my highest was victim. I thought it was going to be rescuer. It was victim. And I did not like that. There's a connotation that comes with victim, right?
Right.
But without me taking that test and having somebody work through it with me, I would have just continued going through life as a victim slash rescuer. That was a close second for me.
So there's three on the Cartman drama triangle, you call it. Mm-hmm. There's three points, right? Mm-hmm. You said it was rescuer, victim, and
persecutor.
Persecutor. Okay. Now, I know I'm not able to take the test, mm-hmm. right? Because there's probably a long test. But is there anything that we could do? Can you help me right now try to figure out what one of those I might be? I'm trying to imagine, like, myself, what I would think I am.
Okay. Let me talk about the other two briefly and see if any of them stand out to you.
Yeah.
So the persecutor is critical and judgmental and kind of rule-based and looks at other people and will judge and attack and find what's wrong with them. Mm. There's a superiority behind it. Mm-hmm. It's a false sense of superiority. So it's a way to have someone find value in themselves and feel good about themselves from a perspective of, I'm judging you. I'm not agreeing with what you're doing. I put myself above you in a superior place. Mm. And then the victim comes from the perspective of, life is happening to me. I don't have any control over it. This is just how life is. These are my circumstances. I'm stuck. There's nothing I can do.
Okay. And then the rescuer, remind me about that one overall.
The rescuer is serving other people, helping other people without being asked.
Uh-huh.
Even when someone doesn't want help, the rescuer is shoving help down their throat.
Right, that good aunt that you know, right?
Yeah. I mean, and it all depends on where you're coming from, mm-hmm. because you can be kind and generous and giving, but if it's coming from a place of true, authentic love for yourself and mm-hmm. generosity and kindness, then great, that's true kindness. But if it's a pattern and you're spending your time and energy helping others, doing for others, giving to others, and your cup is empty, then you're a rescuer.
Mm.
And you're doing it to build your own value. If I give and I do and I'm generous, people will then like me and then I'm valuable.
Mm, interesting. I remember when I was younger and I took the Myers-Briggs, that was always the big one that people took. And or there was also the, was it the Enneagram, where you would be, you know, positive, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, one of those things, and you'd be on, you know, because there is always, like, I know with these three, I like how simple it is in terms of that there's only three. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's, you know, shades of gray, like you're in between maybe a persecutor and a rescuer, whatever that might be. Because oftentimes, it sounds like they have mostly negative aspects, but there's also positive aspects to each of those too, I would assume. And because it seems like when you think, okay, yeah, I don't know where I fall in that spectrum. I mean, I feel like when you were talking about persecutor, I was like, oh, that was me as a young man. Mm. You know, that definitely as a young man, I was, you know, because I was in the theater and I was like trying to figure out, like, so you would see stuff and you'd be critical because you were trying to also ascend, mm-hmm. right, in terms of that world. So you were not really tearing it down, but you were definitely looking at it with like a critical eye.
Mm-hmm.
But then of course, like you, I feel like, well, maybe I feel like I lean more towards the rescuer because I do feel like though the reason that I know sometimes I do it is because then, like you said, it gives me value,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like even me as the host of this show, right? I'm here to help and the community get the word out about their projects. But what does that do for me? Well, it helps me feel important,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so just being able to examine that in this moment makes sense to me.
Yeah, and the question would be is, if you didn't come to work and do this, would you hold the same amount of value within yourself?
Right.
Or is your value dependent on what you do.
Yes, I think that a lot of times it is for me dependent on what I do, right? Which is interesting. Yeah. Although, and I'm sure there's parts of the victim in me too, you know, I relate less to that just on the surface, but of course I'd love to take the test and find out.
These are easy to Google. The Cartman Drama Triangle Quiz. Just Google it. And the Adult Attachment Style Quiz. It's a great place to start.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I will say about the drama triangle, the goal is to not be on the triangle. It's to get off the triangle.
Oh, okay.
So we're all on the triangle. We're human beings, but we want to be on it as little as possible.
Right.
And when you're off the triangle, I call that you're present or you're conscious.
Okay.
You're aware of yourself and you're choosing not to play one of those roles. And the other thing I'll say about the drama triangle is you can jump roles within seconds.
Yeah.
Just in you and I having a conversation, you and I could be flipping, switching roles by the second. We can also be on the drama triangle with ourselves.
Right.
Just our relationship with ourself, which is another big part of the coaching, is how are you relating to yourself? Are you paying attention to yourself? What do you like? What do you want out of life? Are you happy? Are you dissatisfied and you're just going to keep being dissatisfied? You know, lots of questions like that.
I would imagine that it also you switch roles depending upon who you with a parent versus a friend versus a partner, that kind of thing. That's kind of wild. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm talking with mindset coach Julie Peters, who is offering a workshop this Sunday. It is a free workshop called Co-Creating Your Life with the Universe. And this workshop is happening this Sunday. And can you tell us what time it is and how people go about getting registered? And then we'll talk about what it actually is going to include.
Okay. It's this Sunday. It's from 12 to 3. And I'm here to report that there's only one or two spots left.
Oh, okay. Because it's happening in someone's home, right?
It's happening in a friend of mine offered their home, yes, over on Douglas. It'll be overlooking the channel. It's a beautiful home. We're going to make really yummy food to have for us. And I'll be presenting for 3 hours.
Wow.
And trying to give people an overview of what my services are. What does this mean to co-create with the universe? What does human psychology have to do with spirituality and how do they overlap? Just to kind of give people a general overview of the work that I do and how it might be able to help.
Okay. So what happens when you create with intention?
Beautiful things happen when you create with intention. When you create with intention, what that means is, first of all, you know what you want.
Mm.
That's a great – a lot of people don't know. They don't ask themselves, what do I really want?
That's a hard place to start for folks, isn't it?
It is.
What you ask, do you ask them, like, straight up, what do you want? And a lot of people say, I don't know.
Yeah. I say, what do you love?
Mm.
What's something – that you've always thought about, that you would just really love to have, that you just push aside for whatever reason.
Mm.
You think that'll never happen. You're too scared. I don't know how I'd ever do that. So it really just starts with what would you love? And if you don't know what you love, how do you get to feeling like I love my life?
Mm. How do you get to that feeling?
Yeah, and it starts with figuring out what you want. And then is when we get into the work, it's like, you're going to have these reasons why you think you can't do it. You're going to have fears about it. And those are the things that stop us from thinking any further about what we want.
Is one of the questions, because this gets asked a lot, I know, when you see things in quick clips and stuff on the internet or whatever, you often hear, like, if money wasn't an object, what would you do? Mm-hmm. Right? Is that a good place to start?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because money is one of the biggest stoppers in pursuing a dream. Mm. Oh, I'd love to do this, but I don't have the money.
Mm.
And that'll stop you in your tracks right there.
Right, right. And then I guess it's about figuring out, like, if you really want that thing, then how do you, because there's also those books, there were those books that were around when I was younger, and it was like, do what you love and the money will follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes that's true, but then also sometimes that seems aspirational.
Well, it's true. It's true, and this is how we get into how the universe works.
Mm.
Life, the universe, is responding to us, to our consciousness. our consciousness has a frequency. It has a vibration. Everything is made of energy. Everything. It's the law of laws. Energy is. And so money is an energy. And so the vibration that you put out that comes from your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions, your paradigm is what I call it, to encapsulate it, sends that frequency, that vibration is, it doesn't stop at the end of your electromagnetic field. It goes on and ripples forever out into the universe. And there is the law of attraction says the vibration that is sent out is the vibration, the frequency that you get back. And so this is, some people call it God. I call it the universe mostly. It's source energy. It is this substance, this unseen substance that receives, perceives frequencies and energies and sends it back to you. So if your consciousness is, let's say, on the Cartman drama triangle, you're a victim. And you just feel really defeated and life is beating you up and life is hard and you're not happy and you feel really stuck, you have a vibration that's emitting out into the field at that low vibrational level. And so guess what you get back? More things on that low vibrational level to feel like life's smacking you in the face. And so it's perpetuating. So there's a quote in the Bible. I'm not going to quote it because I don't know it exactly. But it says, those who have get more. And so this is the idea that if I have a high frequency, a high vibration, I feel really positive about life, I feel connected to a higher power, I'm staying off the drama triangle, and I really come from love. I live from the place that I want to be. If I want to be this version of Julie Peters, then I am that version right now. I come from that version. I don't aim to get to it. I come from it. And so I'm taking on that vibrational frequency now of what I don't yet have because I want to put that out there, and then I get back what I want because I put out the right frequency. It's like a radio station. What are you going to tune into?
Well, it's really interesting because I think it all goes back to what you were talking about in terms of belief, right? What is your belief and the things that there's no, there's, feels to me like there's no stronger power than that because that is where I feel a lot of people suffer is they have the limiting beliefs or they've been told by whatever, society, their parents, the whatever that is, and it's beaten them down in terms of believing, well, you're not worthy, you're not of value, you can't do this thing. And so I think that's a core of what you do in your work. And I could talk about this for hours. It's so fun to discuss. There is a free workshop. There's only a couple slots left to be part of Julie's Sunday, March 23rd from 12 to 3 p.m., co-creating with the universe. And how do people get in touch with you? What's the best way to find you and get in touch with you about this workshop? I have a number here, but I want to make sure that that's okay to give out over the air.
Yeah, it's okay to give the number. It's 907-723-6305. And you can also find me on Facebook. Just search Julie Peters, and you'll find my business page also, Julie Peters Mindset Coaching. Go to either one, message me. Or you can text or call and grab one of the last couple of slots.
I love that. Well, thank you so much. I know I have a lot of, you know, a lot of things going on. People come on the show a lot, and they tell me sometimes that they're nervous. They've never been on the radio before. And I tell them, I'm nervous before I go live every day. Like every day, there's a little bit of that energy, which is energy, right? It's the energy of the nervousness of making sure things go well, the nervousness of, you know, I said 2023 in the intro today because my mind is occupied with so many things. So it's really interesting to think about that and find those exercises and work with someone. I think everybody deserves a life coach.
No kidding, really. I mean, everybody would be a much better place if we were all just living from love and living our true authentic selves, whatever that is.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, Julie, for being here. Gwyneth Cheesh, I really appreciate it. And we'll talk with you next time for sure.
Until next time, Boston. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, up next, Deborah Craig is here from the Juno Commission on Aging. We chat with her next on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. But first, today is the spring equinox, and that's what Steve's sharing about in this week's Star Party.
Let's have a star party. This is Steve Kosas with the Reject Planetarium. I'm going to talk about the equinox. March 20th is the spring equinox. And what happens is that if you were on the equator at local noon, the sun would be directly overhead, no shadow. That's because the equinox is when the Earth is directly facing the sun. And you have the same effect of no shadow for the September equinox, when the sun then is moving back into the southern hemisphere. Now, also at equinox, the sun is rising due east and setting due west. And the equinox is used to compute a religious holiday, Easter. It's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the equinox. And that's always computed as March 21st, even if the equinox is March 20th, as it is this year. Now, the reason for the seasons is the tilt of the Earth's axis. And if there was no tilt, then we'd have very little change in the seasons. If the Earth was tilted even more than it is now, we'd have more extreme seasons. And what's important is that our moon, because of its relative mass to the Earth, actually keeps our Earth's axial tilt stable. In the case of Mars, its axial tilt changes over time because it does not have a moon of sufficient mass to stabilize that effect. So also what's interesting is the moon was formed from the Earth in a collision in the early solar system with a planet that has since been ejected. So thank you, Moon. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Drake Planetarium. Our public shows on our website at mariedrakeplanetarium.org. Thank you.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansengress.com/careers.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I am joined now by Deborah Craig from the Juno Commission on Aging. Thank you so much. It's good to see you again, Deborah. Wasa'iti, how are you today?
Thank you. I'm doing well, and I so enjoyed your last guest, Boston. I try to stay off the drama triangle as much as possible because now I'm retired, and I actually just love my life as a retiree. I'm really fortunate.
So. I love that, and I love that you're doing the good work on the Juno Commission on Aging. Thank you so much. Yeah, Julie's a wonderful guest. She's been here before. I always just want to talk with her more about what's going on, because it is so interesting when you think about, you know, how do you manifest your life? And, you know, part of why you're here is helping folks who are a little bit older to manifest their life and keep themselves busy. And you have all kinds of events that you offer. And I do want to mention this, because we were talking about this before the show started today, that if you Google Juno Commission on Aging, you will find the link that allows you to go to the city website. Government websites are always so long and complicated. So if you just Google it or in your favorite search engine, search Juno Commission on Aging. You'll find the page, and you have a robust page there filled with all kinds of information and detail. But today we're going to go over some things. You're going to tell us a lot about some of the events coming up.
Yes, I am. Actually, we welcome everybody to go to our website. There are some links on the left-hand side of the page. If you Google Juno Commission on Aging, you will go directly. You won't have to dive through the CBJ's website. You'll get directly to the Juno Commission on Aging. We have a number of links on the left-hand side that will introduce you to the commission, to the commissioners, to some of the services that are available in town. And I have been the chair of the Juno Commission on Aging for a little over a year, and we've identified three priorities. And next month, we're hoping to talk about one of our first priorities, which is promoting age-friendly community planning, which is, as we say all the time at the Juno Commission on Aging, it is so cool that everybody's doing it. And so age-friendly community planning is planning not just for seniors, but it's for everybody in the community. So we'll talk about that next month. Our second priority is housing that enables people to age in place, age in their homes. And our third priority is recreation and wellness. And that's what I wanted to talk about today.
Absolutely.
And people can grab a pen and paper, because I'm just going to outline some of the cool things that are happening around Juno that seniors, elders, and everybody in the community can participate in. One of the first things I wanted to talk about was pickleball, and I don't know if you have been introduced to the pickleball community in Juno, but they are absolutely incredibly enthusiastic, and the Juno Commission on Aging has been working really hard to try to help manifest some space for pickleball at the Floyd Dryden Gym and the Marie Drake Gym, and those are in process. But I wanted to let the pickleball community know that UAS is offering pickleball at the recreational center on Sunday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays from 2 to 4. And there's a fee for non-members, but it's a great way to get your pickleball fix. We wanted to talk a little bit about fitness. I'm not sure that everybody is aware that there are seated fitness and Tai Chi classes that are designed. They're designed specifically for elders, but really it would work for anybody to reduce stress, promote flexibility, to improve overall wellness. And I have two offerings that are available that are completely free. They're online. You don't have to leave your house. Catholic Community Services is offering an online Tai Chi. This is specifically for people 60 and over. It's an 8-week program from March 31st to May 21st. And again, I mentioned, get out your pen and paper. But this is going to, this information is all on our website as well. They have a beginner's level classes, advanced classes. All you need to do is call Catholic Community Services, 907-463-6147. Ask for Eileen and Chris, and they will help you to sign up. Or you can sign up for the AARP virtual fitness and Tai Chi classes that are also fun. You just go to the AARP website for events, and it will talk to you a little bit about both the Tai Chi and the seated workouts that are available. Another area that people who are aging and might be experiencing some cranky joints is pool-based activities. And the Diamond Park Pool is offering Tai Chi, chair yoga, and aqua aerobics on a regular basis. Just go to our website and you'll see those dates and times. And I wanted to throw this out there. This class is already in progress, and it's closed because it filled up so quickly, but it'll be offered again in the fall. And we just want people to know it's happening. It's a collaboration with several agencies, AARP, UAS, one of the other community organizations. It's called Healthy Bones, Arthritis, and Balance Class. It's on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's going to be offered 2 days a week. And again, this is going to be something that's going to be happening in the fall, but I want people to stay tuned for it, because that class filled up so quickly that we thought, oh, we could do this much more often and have a lot more people involved. And so hopefully as time goes on, it will be offered more often. Another area I wanted to talk about is, many of us know people who are helping family and friends as caregivers. And this is an area of real concern across the nation because caregivers are really spending an enormous amount of time helping their family members through various difficulties, not just aging, but experiencing disabilities. And it can be really, really challenging. And Klinka and Haida is offering a caregiver support program. They, if you call Klinka and Haida, they can provide advocacy, they can help you fill out forms, they can help direct you. And if you call SAIL, they have an aging and disability center that also can provide support for caregivers. There's also a caregiver conference this Monday, March 31st, from 11 to 3 that Klinka and Haida is hosting. Another area that we've come on, we've spoken about this in the past, but I want to make sure that people are aware that it's continuing. The Widows and Widowers Garden Support Group meets the first Monday of every month, and that will be happening on April 7th from 2 to 4 at the Riverview Senior Living Center. And you do need to call to join the group. That's 907-789-3133. And I think, you know, it's really important. This is one of the things that we heard when we did some listening sessions through the AARP and the Juno Commission on Aging, is that getting through the grieving process can be really challenging, but doing it with others can sort of soothe that path and make it a little bit easier for everybody involved. Another area of that we're trying to emphasize is the idea of volunteer opportunities. And I think I know you have CCS come on, but I'm going to put a plug in as well for Meals on Wheels. They always need volunteers, and it's a great way to get out and meet your neighbors. And for those of us that are retired, we have plenty of time to, you know, take a few hours a week and deliver some meals to our friends and neighbors. CCS is also going to be hosting, the Catholic Community Services Senior Center is hosting a Seward's Day Pancake Fundraiser. That'll be on March 31st from 9:30 to 1 at the Juno Senior Center, and we need volunteers to help. And St. Vincent de Paul's also has a home visit program that allows you to call in, make contact with St. Vincent de Paul's, and they will sort of set you up. It can be a more longer term or a shorter term situation, but set you up to help a senior for some short term projects. Somebody that might just need the closet cleaned out, or, you know, they're needing to move, and so they need some help with boxing things up, or whatever type of assistance they may need. And they have a system in place at St. Vincent de Paul's to match you with people. Their phone number is 907-789-5535. And last, I'm urging people to reach out to the JAC for their community calendar. You know, one of the things that we continually talk about with the Juno Commission on Aging is getting the word out to the community has gotten a little bit more difficult. We don't have one venue for announcing all the things that are happening throughout the community. But the JAC is doing a fabulous job with their community calendar of letting people know the events that they can attend and go to and enjoy and take a senior friend with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to mention, if you go to kto.org/calendar, we actually host that same calendar. It's not our calendar that we update, but we partner with the JAC to be able to host that calendar because it is so comprehensive.
It is.
But it needs people to populate it too. They put in some of the events, but people can go there and populate that calendar with their events as well, which is kind of great.
That's a good plug for the calendar because, again, people pretty continually comment on the fact that we don't have a place to go, but that community calendar is becoming the place to go.
Absolutely.
The last thing I wanted to do, we were brainstorming at the Juno Commission on Aging about how to get the word out for a lot of these volunteer opportunities, et cetera. And one of the things that we started talking about is maybe we just need to urge people to reach out to their friends and neighbors. You know, we all get busy with our lives and we're going here and there, but maybe it's time to slow down and reach out to a neighbor. Somebody said something about, oh, there must be a service to help elders take their trash cans in. And I said, you know, the other morning, I just went over across the street to my neighbor's house and I took his trash can in. We don't need a service to do that. we just need to be service-oriented, maybe in our approach to our own neighborhoods, and reach out to people. If you bake some cookies, take some to an elder. If you bake some bread, take some to a friend. If you see something happening out front, you know, the trash can or whatever, try to lend a helping hand. We don't need a formal organization to refer us to be able to be good neighbors and friends. So the Juneau Commission on Aging is really reaching out to people and encouraging them to offer to go to lunch with an elder. If you're going to Costco or the store, offer to take them to the store with you. Just reach out and be a good neighbor and a good friend. We're all aging. We're all getting there. And this is a way to pay it forward to the community.
Deborah Craig, Juneau Commission on Aging, thank you so much for all that information. Of course, as we mentioned, you can Google Juneau Commission on Aging. It will take you to their page where all that information is listed. Thank you so much for coming in today. Gwyneth Cheesh, I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Boston, for the opportunity. We appreciate it. Next time, we'll be talking about age-friendly community planning.
I love that. I want to hear more about that for sure. Okay, up next, we talk with Chancellor Dr. Aparna Palmer about the Yamaha Certificate Program and some upcoming events at the university. This is Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. But first, a savory moment.
Step into the savory moment. You've just scored. A fisherman was selling whole king salmon at the dock, and you bought a gorgeous 20-pounder for $12 a pound. At the grocery store, you'd be paying at least $25. You're going to fill your freezer at bargain basement prices. Go ahead, enjoy the moment. It won't last long. After you sharpen that fillet knife, you'll be coming face-to-face with something called a recovery rate, the percentage of usable product left after viscera and bones are trimmed away. According to the Alaska Sea Grant's Marine Advisory Bulletin No. 37, the recovery rate on a king salmon from whole fish to skin on fillets is about 57%. You're still left with a lot of king salmon, about 11.5 pounds. The real surprise comes when you break out your calculator to find the finished price per pound. It's easy, involving just two numbers, that purchase price and recovery rate. But instead of multiplying, adding, or subtracting the two, you're dividing. $12 divided by 57%. That's 0.57. The number on your screen, $21.05. The edible portion of your king salmon just went from $12 a pound to over $21. Add in your labor and, well, take a minute to recover. Recovery rates for other seafood species include sockeye, 53%, halibut, 49%, black cod, 40%. If you want the skin removed, recovery rates plummet further. Skinless rockfish fillets have a 23% recovery rate, which is why when a processor buys a load of yellow-eye at $1.50 a pound, you'll see it at the grocery store for at least quadruple that, but probably more. The processor and the retailer both have to pay employees and make the profit that keeps them in business. Here's the golden rule. The smaller the recovery rate, the more disappointing that number on your calculator. Find a link to Sea Grant Advisory Bulletin No. 37 at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. You are listening to Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, also now live streaming on KTOO's YouTube and Facebook pages. You can join us there. You can even chat if you want. Throw something in the chat. We might see it. I might see it. That's kind of cool. I'm joined now in studio by Dr. Aparna Palmer, Chancellor at the University of Alaska Southeast, for another Venice visit. Gwyneth Cheesh, welcome back to Juneau Afternoon.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So we have a couple of things to talk about today, one of them being a really cool certificate program for outboard motors.
Yes, this is our Yamaha Outboard Motors Certification Program, and it is coming to UAS. It was initially designed through a collaboration between the Yamaha U.S. Marine Business Unit and the Alaska Maritime Education Consortium, and it was inspired by the late Congressman Don Young, who encouraged Yamaha to think about, hey, how can you help people who are in some of the most remote and rural areas of Alaska? So we are going to be offering our first course, which is part of a 5-course series that leads to a certification. And our first course will be offered on the Juneau campus on April 4th through 6th, and on the Ketchikan campus from May 8th through 11th. Both sets of courses are going to be taught by Trevor Fritz, who has been through the Yamaha training program, and he is an amazing professor, already beloved by the students that he works with. And so we're excited that Trevor will be offering this course. Now, to take this course, you have to go through an orientation. That is required. And the orientation is on Thursday, February 20th, or on April 3rd, and it's from 5:30 to 7. And so I want to make sure that people know you are welcome to take this certification course or courses, but you do have to go through that orientation.
You got to go through that first. And why is that?
So I think it gives you a chance to kind of learn about the certifications that make up the program, how you would earn them to get to the Yamaha Master Certification, and just gives you an orientation to what the program is all about.
I see. Yeah, because it looks like on the flyer that you have that there's 5 certifications that make up the Yamaha Maintenance Certification Program. So it's sort of going over all those things that you'd be learning and trying to figure out. And what do people who get this certification do with this certification?
Well, it enables them to really like work on their Yamaha motors, you know, whether it is through a commercial operation or whether it is through just your own individual desire to maintain your Yamaha system. This is a chance for you to have that.
I see.
I think it's an excellent way, especially if you live in a rural community, an excellent way to not only be independent, but also serve your community.
Yeah, you become a certified Yamaha technician.
Yep. You could have master certification.
Oh, that's that works. That's really cool. I like that.
Yeah.
And this is a program that is designed, it sounds like a certificate program is a little bit different than, say, a degree program where you have to go for years and years and years. This is certain times and certain dates that you can do this. So you do it in those couple of days and then you're certified.
Well, so I don't have the details on exactly how it would work for each level of the certification program, but yes, it's an abbreviated way to get the training that you need in order to do some amazing work that allows you to really feel confident with your Yamaha motors or work for a shop that services Yamaha motors.
Is this taking place at the university or is it somewhere out in the community?
Actually, these courses are taking place either at our tech center here in Juneau or on the Ketchikan campus of UAS in Ketchikan.
If you're taking it, yeah. Right. I love that it's offered in 2 different cities. That's pretty great.
Yeah, and I should note that this is a program that Generation Southeast, which is part of Tlingit and Haida, they will also be offering similar opportunities. And so if you're, you know, if you're not able to participate in what we offer, we partner so closely with Tlingit and Haida, we can certainly work with them to make sure that you are aware of their opportunities as well.
I love that. Okay. So that is the Yamaha certificate, Yamaha Maintenance Certification Program for Outboard Motors.
Yes.
I love that. Okay. Now, another big thing, and this is across the whole university system. It includes Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Southeast, and all of the campuses in Southeast, the UA Giving Day event. Tell me a little bit about that.
So this is a once-a-year event. This year it's occurring from March 25th through 27th. This is 49 hours to support what you believe in the most at each of our 3 universities. So At UAS, you could support one or more of 30 different funds that span across 12 different areas of need. You could support Alaska Native Studies, suicide prevention awareness, the research that goes on. You could support student scholarships, the library. These are all important places that really need your help. And the exciting thing about Giving Day is we have a number of community organizations or community folks who are doing matching gifts. And so if you contribute, it actually opens up the opportunity for us to get a match from a donor or a donor organization or a group that is really interested in helping. So one of the organizations that I'm so thankful to because they've done this year after year is the Grind Coffee Company.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing a match to build up funding for our suicide prevention awareness. And we also have a couple of community members in the Spofford family who will be donating an extra $1,000. And so it's a $1,000 match by the Grind, $1,000 by the Spofford family, and this is a chance to really help with suicide awareness in our community.
I love that. One of the ones I saw, Aparna, was the UAS Dr. Saul Neely Indigenous Studies match, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, I think this is amazing. Not only is this such a meaningful fund for us, I have to give kudos to our former Chancellor Karen Carey, my predecessor, wonderful person who will match every gift, dollar for dollar, up to $10,000.
That's amazing.
She is such a generous and kind person, and she really believes in UAS. And I have to say, I know several of the former chancellors of UAS, and they are so supportive of the university, our students, and have been very, very supportive of me as well. So I'm very thankful to them.
And then another one I see here, I'm looking at the website and I'm seeing some of these wonderful programs, but the UAS Small University Making Big Waves in Research Challenge.
Yeah, this is one where our advisory board, our Juno Campus Advisory Board or Advisory Council is involved. And so when 20 donors give to any UAS Research for Southeast fund, the advisory council will donate $1,500 to support the greatest needs. This is so helpful. So if you think about it, we are a small university, but we do world-class research. And one of the ways in which we do research is to look at our glacial outburst flooding. But we're also looking at the whales that occur in this area. We're looking at the fisheries that occur in this area. And so this is a chance to really support not only a researcher in the area, but all the students who work with that researcher and get that really important experience, which is part of what we want to give at UAS.
I love that. And of course, you can find all of this at givingday.alaska.edu.
Yes. And they can also search on the UAS website.
Yeah, so. Because if you go to the givingday.alaska.edu, you see all of the funds. I mean, let's keep it local, right? Let's keep it at UAS. But if you're a UAF alma mater or if you're a UAA alma mater, you can also look at some of the funds that are there. Or if you just enjoy the UA system here in Alaska, you can support some of those funds. You mentioned how many there were. There was, like, could you say there was a dozen or something like that?
Well, 30 for UAS.
Oh, 30.
Across 12 different areas.
Oh, that's what I heard, the 12 different areas.
Yeah,
okay, wow, but that's amazing.
But even more, if you look at UAA and UAF, I think your gift makes such a big difference to each of our universities. But I'm going to say especially to UAS, we are small, but we are mighty.
Small and mighty, I like it. I am a UAA alumni, but I'm part of the UA system. So I'm happy to donate to UAS as opposed to UAA, but because they closed down my theater program, which I'm sad about.
Oh,
but that was a long time
ago.
I
love theater.
Yeah, it was a couple years ago that they closed that down, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the way it goes. You know, that's what happens. Sometimes things go the way of the dodo bird, as they say.
They don't have to.
They don't have to. That's why we do Giving Day, right?
That's right. That's right. There's always hope.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So you have been at UAS for how long have you been there now?
So a little over 1.5 years.
Okay.
So I'm celebrating my second full spring. I did actually move here towards the end of the spring in 2023.
Okay. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, I see. Okay. That's awesome. And we also probably should start reminding people that if they're interested in going to UAS, let's say in the fall, if you've got a graduating senior, if you've got, you know, some opportunity to go back to school, that when do people have to start thinking about that in terms of getting ready to apply and register and all of those things?
So we always say it's never too late. We have admissions that are, you know, admissions is open right now for the fall. But we also have admissions for the spring. And so we are very, very open to kind of matching what you want. But if you are a senior or you're a community member thinking about pursuing some education, you could apply right now. You could take a summer course just to get you going, and then you would be ready for fall. But we take applications all the way up until August for fall.
Absolutely. And also, I just wanted to put a plug in that the language classes that are available, they're still free for those who want to basically take it as an audit, not for credit, but you can still take those classes for free.
Those classes are still available thanks to the generosity of our partners, such as the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find out more about those classes. And those are usually a semester long, and you can start learning Tlingit. And is there other languages offered as well?
So we offer the three languages of Southeast Alaska, Tlingit, Tsimshian, and Haida. But I believe most of our students take Tlingit.
Okay, that's great. That's so wonderful. And, of course, I'll put in a plug here to UAS professor Hune Lance Twitchell, who just won an Emmy Award. If you haven't listened to that interview that we aired last Friday, it's now available on our website, an hour long. We did it before he won the Emmy. So he was Emmy nominated at that time, but now Emmy Award winner out at the university. And he is the he's a Indigenous Studies and Language teacher out there at UAS.
Yeah, he is so amazing. He inspires me every day. And we are so proud of his accomplishment. And of course, it was done in collaboration with a few folks. And so just kudos to all of them.
Yeah, it's a wonderful team that works on Molly Vannelli. A bunch of different writers here in Southeast that are working on that show and all that good stuff. Dr. Aparna Palmer, it's always a pleasure to have you in. We didn't talk about the polychaetes and the tardiglades this time. my favorite subject, because it's your favorite subject.
Yes.
And your degrees are in that. So never lose sight of that, right? Never lose sight of the research and the first love.
Yes, never lose sight of the beauty that exists all around you in the smallest and most unexpected places. That's what I say.
I love that. Thank you so much. Gunnar Tish for being here.
Gunnar Tish, thank you.
That's going to do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, we chat with the Americana band Hot Buttered Rum playing the Crystal Saloon this weekend. And it's the 40th anniversary of Jammy Health and Wellness. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Also now available on KTO's YouTube and Facebook pages. Find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juno Afternoon is provided by Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunnar Tish, and have a fantastic Juno evening.